The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 21st chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be? And what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray. For many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and the time is near. Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrection, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes and in various places famines and plagues, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair on your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you. Thank you, thank you. I hope you're having a wonderful day on this day that God has made. So have any of you been asked yet, what do you want to be when you grow up? Has anybody ever asked you that?
Yeah.
How many times do you think? I bet before you're 18 years old, I bet you'll be asked that question 100 times. And it might be an important question to think about. But the reality is, see, here's one thing I want you to know. You're never truly grown up. All the way through life, you're going to continue to grow and to learn and to develop. You're going to continue to be transformed and changed by a God who loves you and a God who guides you. So you're always going to be being shaped and molded, and you're always going to be growing up. Now that doesn't mean you won't become an adult, and you will. You'll become an adult someday, and you'll be expected to carry on adult responsibilities. And as Paul writes in Thessalonians, you'll be responsible to work and to earn your own living and that sort of thing, and that can only be expected. But you're always going to continue to grow. I think there's a more important question that we should always ask, not only of children, but of children and adults, and that is, what do you want the world to look like in 20 or 40 or even 60 years? What would you like the world to look like in the future? And the reason we might ask that question is because decisions that we make today, the way that we live and act, the way that we treat others today, shapes how our world will look tomorrow. So when you come to worship and you hear that God frees captives, that God forgives sinners, when you hear that God feeds the hungry, you are shaped and molded to do those same kind of things, to work for justice and freedom and liberation for all people so that all people can live in the abundance of God. You are shaped and molded to forgive others when they sin against you or hurt you. You are called to feed the hungry and the hurting. You are called to heal the world. So, What do you want the world to look like in 20 or 40 or 60 years? The way you live today will shape that future. God has given you and me creative powers, the ability to partner with God to bring about a world. And God certainly has a desire for the world. And so that's why we should always study God's word as we ask that question. What does God want the world to look like in 20 or 40 or 60 years? And I think it's going to be based on some of those things that I just mentioned. Liberation and freedom, for communities and people who forgive each other and people who feed those who are hurting and hungry. So next time somebody asks you that question, what do you want to be when you grow up? Maybe you can turn it around on them and ask them that question. What do you want the world to look like in 20 years? And then you could have a discussion with an adult about what we want to work for, what we want the world to look like. Does that sound kind of fun? You can turn that question around on them and say, what do you want the world to look like in 20 years? I think that sounds kind of fun, because then you get to, Jesus did that a lot. He answered a question with a question. So if you can develop that skill, you're going to be walking in Jesus' footsteps, and you're going to have some amazing conversations. So let's pray. You can repeat after me. Dear Jesus, you shape us and mold us to live like you. Forgive us when we fail. Renew us every day for a new beginning, so that we may glorify you in all that we do. Amen. Thanks for coming up today. Remember the question, what do you want the world to look like in 20, 40, or 60 years? In fact, I'd invite you to ask your parents or grandparents that question today over lunch. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. For those who were able and willing to come to the Bowman Fine Arts Center to hear Daoud Nasser speak this past Wednesday evening, we heard a vision. We heard a vision of a Christ-like world that he, his family, and his people desire to build as they refuse to be enemies with those who for almost 30 years now have been trying to steal their little 100-acre farm on a hilltop outside of Bethlehem, the city or the village where Jesus was born. So what kind of world do you want to build? That is really the question behind this text and texts like Luke 21. We initially don't hear it that way because we like the disciples, we get caught up in the apocalyptic or the end time language. The disciples are admiring the temple and they see that it's adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God. And Jesus responds, as for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be torn down. The first thing that we should notice is Jesus giving us a warning that even things in this world that are dedicated to God, those can be misconstrued. Those can be things that will be torn down. And so not everything that is built to the glory of God necessarily honors or glorifies the God whom we serve. The disciples, like us, get caught up in the end time language. When will this be? They say, give us a time frame. What are the signs that we should look for? Tell us what we should look for so that we can be ready and prepared. But Jesus goes in a different direction. Jesus responds by saying, beware that you are not led astray. For many will come in my name and say, I am he, and the time is near. He says, do not go after them. For Jesus, the question concerning the end time is the same question concerning today. Who or whom will I follow? What values will I embrace? What world will I seek to build? Many will come and say, I am he or I am she. Follow me and we will build this or that kind of world. With Jesus, the kingdom of God has come, and Jesus is building a world. He is building a kingdom. He is developing his reign. And so the question is, what kind of world do you wish to build based on the kind of world that Jesus is building? A world that will be torn down, or a world that will last? A world that fits with or is fitted with God's values, or a world opposed to God's values? This certainly is a very relevant question for us in this season of politics. Many will come, Jesus says. Many will come to Iowa saying, I am he or I am she. Follow me and we will build this or that kind of world. And you've heard the arguments. You're hearing that these politicians lay out their vision for the United States. Certainly some of the visions that we're hearing presented are closer to the vision of Jesus, the vision that Jesus has for his world, than others are. But all fall short. In the end, all fall short and will leave us disappointed and discontented if we put our whole hope in them. The vision, the world that Jesus has come to build will start not in some distant future for Jesus, but it will start just around the corner as he will lay down his power, his prestige, his privilege, and he will go to the cross in love. He will sacrifice his life in love for the world, in love for you. And as he does, as he goes to the cross, he prays, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he declares to those who desire to follow him, let anyone who wants to follow me take up his cross and follow me. This is the place that a world built on the values of God begins. It begins at the cross. It begins with sacrificial love. It begins with laying down our deepest desires and our greatest hopes in order to take up the desires and the hopes of God. For Daoud and his family, this is what they have decided to do. In the face of prejudice and discrimination, in the face of hatred and occupation and violence, they have determined not to build a world based on the world's values of violence for violence, or retreating into despair and becoming a doormat. But they have determined, and they have said, that we will hold fast to Jesus, even as we are persecuted, even as we are challenged, even as those who stand against us try to steal this land that has been in our family's possession for over 100 years. And we will strive to build a world based on enemy love. We will resist their assaults and respond with love. And that is a costly decision to make. You see, rarely do they see progress. Rarely do they see any sign of change in the others, the actions of others. Yet they know that with God's help, as they persist in love, as they persist in forgiveness, as they persist in patience, this kind of action will build a world worthy of the kingdom of God. Each of us, everyone here this morning, We have the opportunity every day to participate in the building of this kind of world, in our homes and in our marriages, in our classrooms and in our workplaces, in our congregations and in our politics. Love, forgiveness, concern, understanding, patience, tolerance, goodness, blessedness, always putting the best construction on everything to give those opposed to us the benefit of the doubt. And yes, it is costly. Yet it is the only way to build the world to which Jesus is calling us. In our adult education class 2 weeks ago, one of our participants said, "This person and that person and I disagree on almost everything when it comes to politics. And yet, we're friends." How refreshing is that in a world of separation and division? I'm not telling you to step away from politics. I'm not suggesting that you give up on them. But I am asking you to let Jesus inform your choices and your responses to those who differ from you. To build anything on any other values only means that it will crumble and fall. It is only love that lasts. There's no denying the forward future bent of this text that we have before us today. It's pointing towards a future with an eye on the present and an eye on decisions that are made today. But Jesus is not interested in telling us or his disciples precisely what that future holds, but rather he is interested in reinforcing who holds that future. And when we know who holds the future, then we know who holds every moment in this present time as well. And we can let that knowledge empower and encourage us to work in this time, to build a world that honors and brings glory to the one who holds that future. It is costly. It is called the way of the cross. But it is the way that we are called to walk. And it is the way upon which the future of Christ and his kingdom is built. And so we continue to go forward in the grace of God, knowing that as we go, we will stumble, we will fall, but we are held in the hands of one who picks us up, who forgives us, and every day sets us on a new path. His name is Jesus, the one who gave his life so that we might have life, not only for ourselves, but life as brothers and sisters, created in his image, for the life that only he can give. Amen.